Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Hi, it's Nick. We're 2 weeks into the 2013 season, and the world is upside down. Surefire first-rounders Mike Trout, Matt Kemp, Joey Votto, Giancarlo Stanton, Adrian Beltre, Evan Longoria, Jason Hayward, they're ruining your life. I can smell the fear. I smell the panic off you. It's ruining your life. Wait a minute. What life? We play fantasy baseball. So we'll try and distract your fantasy baseball-loving mind with something non-fantasy baseball-related for a moment. We're going to talk about baseball. It's Jackie Robinson Day on Monday, so I'll be tipping my Razzball cap to the legend by having J.B. Gilpin on board to discuss the film 42. That's right, Big Country J.B. isn't just the handsome face around our virtual office. He was also a film major, so he knows what he's talking about, and is otherwise unemployed with that degree. Hope he didn't pay a lot for that. Smokey puts down the Cheetos and Goldfish crackers long enough to help us find real deep sleepers on the waiver wire. I'm talking deep, deep sleepers here. We'll also take a look at the spring fling happening over at DraftKings.com. And don't forget, you can always interact with the podcast. A lot of people did that today, so we're going to bring up a couple of tweets by following me at Nick Capozzi, N-I-C-K-C-A-P-O-Z-Z-I. All that plus Gray Albright and Rudy Gamble. It's the Razzball Podcast for the week of April the 15th, 2013. Here we go. Razzball Podcast. All right, let's get my man JB Gilpin on the line at JB Gilpin on Twitter. So in the off chance you're not familiar with the sport of baseball, it's the predecessor to the fantasy baseball game you're obsessed over. If you are familiar with the original bat and ball game, you've probably heard of one of the bravest men of the last century, Jackie Robinson, the player who, of course, broke the color barrier in baseball. What's up, Big Country?
I am not Bryant Reeves, okay? But it's good to be here.
No, but you're like 6'8".
I am, but I think Bryant Reeves was like 7 feet 300. I'm just pushing like 230.
You're a big cat. I mean, I'm a big dude, but you're way bigger than me and you're from the South, hence Big Country. I'm sorry that I don't have anything more creative.
That's okay.
Either that, Big Biscuit.
I like Big Biscuit.
Okay. You know what?
I would say something like you could cover me in gravy, but that sounds like a T-hole comment.
All right, so JB, we know that over the weekend you went to see 42, which, we're just doing this one segment off of fantasy baseball because, again, it is Jackie Robinson Day today on Monday. So, of course, they'll be celebrating that throughout the majors this week. The movie looks great. Of course, Jay-Z's got a great song for it, wouldn't you know? But aside from the story of Jackie Robinson that we all know, what was the actual movie experience like for 42?
It was interesting. I am not a baseball historian, so I did not know a lot of the people involved or a lot of the story involved. Pretty much the only player that was a main character that I knew was Pee Wee Reese, that was played by Lucas Black, who you'll recognize from Friday Night Lights or Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, but he was great. I really enjoyed that it kind of took a little bit of a sabermetric type, maybe not sabermetric, but more current fantasy thinking of, or I should say just overall major league thinking of a player disrupting the game with his speed, stealing bases, getting into the pitcher's head. That was really interesting to me because that's kind of how baseball is going these days. It's not the power hitters anymore. So that was a really interesting aspect.
Disruptive, like Bonifacio disruptive.
Exactly. just stealing bases, getting throwbacks to first, being off, and he was just an all-around good player.
Now, I'm assuming this is probably not a take your kids to this movie type movie, right? I'm just guessing with the racial tension in the period, the language is probably salty.
It is, but it's only, I believe, only PG-13 salty. I'm pretty sure it was only PG-13. You definitely do get some words that you will not want to say in inner city Detroit. But it's part of the history.
Or anywhere, for that matter.
That's a good point. You know, I did not know that Jackie Robinson played a year for the Montreal Monarchs?
Royals.
Is that correct? Royals. It was the Royals. So he was a hometown player for you.
Yeah, and actually, no joke, two of my great uncles later also played for the Montreal Royals.
Cool.
So, actually, it's interesting because, you know, it was the Brooklyn Dodgers AAA team, but he actually played a whole year in Canada beforehand. So, Chadwick Boseman played Mr. Robinson, and I think it's fair to say, if you look him up on IMDb or on Wikipedia, it's probably fair to say this is his first big role. How did he do playing Jackie Robinson?
I thought he was fantastic. The movie was a little, it's not something that's going to push award season. It was a little tame in that regard. It was more kind of an entertainment movie than necessarily a hard drama. But with that in mind, the performances were fantastic. Like you said, Chadwick Boseman was great. Harrison Ford was really good. He really was there to play a role. He wasn't just phoning in a role. I really liked all of a sudden Pirate Steve from Dodgeball, Alan Tudyk. He had a small role as a Phillies manager that was a very racist guy. And, of course, leave it to the Phillies to be berating with racial epithets on the field.
Well, that's good to hear that Harrison Ford wasn't just using this as a placeholder, because I know with the new Star Wars rolling out in 2015 and he coming back as Han Solo, possibly.
Yeah.
How do you work on anything else when that's coming over the arc?
Yeah, well, let's hope that that doesn't become some sort of monumental disappointment like the Phantom Menace was. So that's all I'm going to say about that.
Hey, man, J.J. Abrams plus Star Wars equals I'm interested.
Equals about 7,000 lens flares.
Okay, just back to 42 for a second. I want to get your final thoughts on a minute, but are there any other quick points about the actual movie? So you're saying it was more of an entertainment movie than a historical movie, but you liked how they focused on bringing today's elements into the early 1940s.
Yeah, a couple other really interesting things is I obviously don't know the historical accuracy of these stadiums, such as Ebbets Field, but it seemed like they did a ton of attention to detail of making those stadiums CGI, and you didn't really think they were, I mean, obviously I could tell they were, but it wasn't glaring, so that was very interesting. The fact that players didn't want to get traded to Pittsburgh was a pretty funny aspect and still current. And another big current thing in the movie was when Robinson got beamed in the head starting an on-field fight. Maybe Zach Greinke should have hit Carlos Quinton in the head, and then Jackie Robinson was knocked out. He couldn't charge the mound after that. So
yeah, Quinton's a suck. I don't even want to talk about that. That's old news. So on a scale of 1 to 5 grazies, how many grazies does 42 get, Mr. Big Biscuit?
You know, I'd give it, I'm waffling between 3.5 and 4. I'd give it 4 grazies. It was entertaining. You're not going to see an awards-pushing movie, like I said. It's a feel-good entertainment movie. Couple laughs, couple cries, as they say. But definitely worth seeing, and a movie I'd probably watch again at some point.
Good stuff. JB, just a little cross-promotion teaser before we let you go. The NFL draft is coming up in a week and a half, and we're going to have you on, as well as perhaps another a fantasy football writer from Razzball.com on, possibly. So we will be doing a post-NFL draft podcast, talk about some of the skill position players that are coming in. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too. Let's hope that this year's rookie class can, if it even comes close to what last year's draft put out, it's going to be a really, really interesting season again next year.
All right, good stuff, Big Biscuit. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
Waiver Wire.
Hey, Kyle, any luck on being able to get the hits from the bong as an intro song for Smokey? No? How about a bong sound effect? Okay, Smokey's going to dig deep looking for players you've likely never heard of or really don't want to own, but have an outside shot at being useful in 2013. What's up, Big Smoke?
Hey, Nick, what's going on, buddy?
Nothing, man. I heard you have scoured the waiver wire, and you've got some guys who are hardly owned in any leagues that could have some sort of value this year. Is that correct?
That's what I've been doing, man. I had a shovel and a scouring pad, and I've been looking and looking and looking.
All right, good stuff. So the first guy you've got in your list here is a gentleman by the name of Daniel Nava. I don't even know if that's how you pronounce it. That's how deep we're going here.
Yeah, that's his Christian name. He's getting a chance now because Jack Bradley Jr. is clearly struggling. I don't think the experiment is working at all in Boston.
Yep.
And you got the imminent return of Big Poppy.
Okay. So how long do you think Nava's going to be rosterable? Or is he just someone we're watching?
I'm watching him now because they still have Johnny Gomes who's lurking in the weeds. And, you know, he's going to run his mouth and say, oh, I want it bats, I want it bats. And he's going to get some because he's going to cry his way out of town. But he's been effective over the last, like, seven games. He's batting over 300. He's got a couple dingers and a couple counting stats, 4 runs, 4 RBIs.
Okay, good stuff. So we'll keep an eye on him. Another player you've got on the list here. Now, my streamer of the week, this is off the Streaminator, of course, available at rasball.com. I went with Chris Campuano of the Dodgers, who's pitching against the Padres. But Bartolo Colon, not only are the A's playing very well right now, but he's got a couple good matchups coming up.
Yeah, he's got a cookie coming up against Houston, and anybody against Houston, you're bound to get at least 6 Ks. I mean, that's what they're averaging per game. I mean, it's better than their first 3 games where they had like 56. But you know, maybe they started to actually open their eyes and swinging the bat.
What type of cookie are we talking? Oatmeal raisin, chocolate chip?
Maybe like a pecan sandy.
Interesting.
Or some space cake. Maybe a space cake.
No, Colon. Listen, he did pitch well last year, and he's only 2% owned, so he's definitely a candidate for streaming. But you never know. I mean, I don't know if he made any more trips to Germany this year, but we'll see what he might be able to put together. Next up on the list is a gentleman by the name of Marwin Gonzalez of the Houston Astros. Looks like he's getting some at-bats currently.
Yeah, I think Houston ran away from the Ronnie Cedeno project. St. Louis basically said, yeah, you're not any good for us, so we'll trade you to a second division or third division team if you're Houston. And he's not filling the sack like Sandy either.
Okay.
But Marwin's doing well.
And he's probably a good option if you've been beset by injuries in the middle infield. Like, for example, if you've got Gordon Beckham, hopefully you're not relying on Beckham, but in some deeper leagues, I am. So Gonzalez might be an option there, correct?
Yeah, exactly. And with the Ibar just went on the DL as well, so he's a good middle infielder still.
Right. Hey, also, too, as we are taping, and I don't have his name in front of me, I'm putting you on the spot, and I shouldn't even do this, but Minnesota just called up a power-hitting outfielder.
Oswaldo Arcia?
Arcia, thank you very much. I was surprised. I got him in every league, and I think last year, if I'm not mistaken, between two levels of the minors, he hit 35 jacks.
Yeah, he's got some potential. I mean, I don't think he's going to be up very long unless he hits the dickens at everything, but it's Minnesota. They play outdoors. Anything is possible. He might hit with a hockey stick. Who knows?
All right. What about Jeff Kepinger? I've seen him on the list here in our super deep waiver wire targets. Tell me about him.
You know, I liked him coming into the season because he's got sexy, sexy eligibility. He's got first base, second base, and third base. You know, people probably drafted him on the hopes that he might do something in the beginning of the year. And he went like 1-for-21 his first like 6 games. And since then, he's basically went 9-for-26. Which is basically .346 in his last 7 games. So that's pretty stellar.
Okay, good stuff. And then last on the list, you've got Nate Schierholz.
Yeah, I like Nate. Nate never got a chance in San Francisco. And it's a shame because he's shown what he could do in a lower level non-contending team. You know, he's batting .400. He's got a homer, some ribbies. The key for him is he's getting every day at bats. You know, every day at bats mean everything to a player like him of his caliber because it gets to show what he is or he isn't, and we're seeing what he is.
All right, good stuff. Listen, I'm going to throw you another curveball here because I know you do the closer report at rasball.com. Of course, you can be followed at Smokey McPots. That's S-M-O-K-E-E-M-A-C-P-O-T. Smokey McPot. Yeah, that's right. Let's just talk bullpens real super quick here. I'm going off topic.
No problem.
Let's talk St. Louis with Boggs. Got blown up the other day, then got a save. Who do you think winds up the closer in St. Louis?
I just read something like maybe about an hour ago that Matheny was talking about Mojica and his effectiveness to actually get three outs in an inning.
Yep.
You know, he might get pushed into some high level pressure situations later on. You know, I liked Mojica about 2 weeks ago, and I said, you know what, I'm going to stash him. And I stashed him in a couple leagues.
Right. And then what about in Kansas City? Do you think Holland is done for the year? I mean, I know Herrera, he's got legit stuff, and he's pitched really well. Any chance Holland gets that gig back?
I think in Kansas City it's like a flavor of the week kind of thing. Holland, you know, they left him out in the sun too long, and he went bad like mayonnaise. And now Herrera came in, and he's showing, you know, lightning in a bottle. He's carrying, you know, what, 13 per 9? He's just sick. I mean, I've watched the guy on tape, and I'm like, this guy's the same height as me, and he's throwing 100 miles an hour. That's crazy.
All right, I'm going to throw one last one at you. I see that Axford is getting dropped everywhere, understandably so, but I bet before the month is over, John Axford is still going to be the closer in Milwaukee, so that might even be worth, if he's on waivers, a couple bucks of your acquisition budget, or if you have a later waiver priority, you might want to try and pick up John Axford, especially if he's been released.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think Axford is done there by any means. You know, Jim Henderson, or Electric Mayhem, as I like to call him, he's effective, but him and Axford are very mirror image of each other, how their careers are lining up. Axford is a late bloomer. Henderson's a late bloomer. They're both from Canada. You know, the similarities are there, but I just don't see Henderson having any more effectiveness than Axford is. I think Axford is just having a lot of bad luck. I also read online that Axford is having release problems. Like, he was releasing the ball in a different location in 2010 and 2011, and it affected him pretty well because he was, you know, a top flight closer then. And then last year and this year, I saw mirror images of it, and he's dropping his arm. And the first indicator of that is you're tipping your pitches.
Right. Well, also too, his velocity's got down. But like I said, he's definitely worth a flyer. Smokey, thanks for joining us today, buddy.
No problem, Nick. Anytime.
All right, man. We will vape up soon.
All right, later on.
The Daily Fantasy Sports Report.
Brought to you by DraftKings.com. Of course, you can follow them on Twitter at DraftKings. So I was just on the DraftKings.com website, and I realized that there's over $5 million in play here this year. So that's a lot of cake. Also, I don't know if I've mentioned this, but the Streaminator is now up and running at Razzball. So that's a PEA, Performance Enhancing Application. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring you my first streamer of the week. So you can get this off the Streaminator, but here's the guy that I would be rolling with if I happen to be playing at DraftKings.com this Tuesday. Chris Capuano for the Dodgers is pitching against the San Diego Padres, and he is a $16 value. So if you want to take advantage of Streaminator technology while playing at DraftKings, that is definitely an option. Okay, let's go back to this $5 million in play at DraftKings.com. Why haven't you signed up yet? Seriously, get on that, people. By the way, too, I just want to mention DraftKings.com is American. It's based out of Boston. This is not something that isn't outside of the good old US of A. So definitely head over to DraftKings.com. Now, we are still running the play with Rudy, and I'm still protesting and calling it Rudy and Nick from Razzball. But now we're going to do it on Friday this week. So if you have the opportunity, you can sign up. There will be a link at Razzball.com. We take 50 entries. It's just $5 to get in, and you can actually put 2 entries per person. The winner this week is going to get a ticket into the $100,000 MLB Spring Fling, and the winner of that is going to win $20,000, and then the 2nd to 10th placers are going to win their $5 back. The $100,000 Spring Fling is happening May 17th, and again, $20,000 going to the champ. So when you kick Rudy and mine and mice? What's the plural of that? Let's just say Rudy and Mice asses. This Friday at DraftKings.com in the Play with Rudy and Nick from Razzball contest. Again, the winner is going to get an entry into that $100,000 MLB Spring Fling. Thanks, DraftKings.
Razzball, the Razzball podcast.
And as always, it is great pleasure to welcome Rudy Gamble and Gray Albright to the Razzball Baseball Podcast. Gentlemen, how are you? Rudy, I'll start with you. How are you today?
Happy Monday.
Happy Jackie Robinson Day.
I should have worn my 42.
Yeah. And then, Gray, hello. Welcome to the podcast. How are you today, Mr. Albright?
Are you sure you're not hearing an echo?
I hear is a ringing in my ears from your singing a couple weeks back. And actually, when you laugh like that...
I saw the Jackie Robinson movie. Not good.
Interesting.
Sorry to rain on everyone's inspirational segregation story, but bit of a letdown.
We actually had JB on discussing it today. He gave it 3.5 grazies out of 5.
Oh, I'm surprised that wasn't out of 2.
All right, listen, let's talk some baseball, gentlemen, because we put it out to the Twitterverse today, got a lot of tweets back. A lot of people are panicking, especially about hitters and hitting. I know in a few of the leagues I'm in, it's funny, I'm dead last in every hitting category, but I have really good players. So obviously there's going to be some rebounding.
And you know why you're dead last in every pitching category?
Because I'm just the podcast host?
Because you don't read Razzball.
I read Razzball.com every day, Greg.
I think you drafted only Canadians.
Yeah, absolutely. Votto, Axford, and Henderson.
Lowry's on the DL. I know. Wait, Lowry's Canadian, isn't he?
Brett Lowry, yes, he's Canadian.
Oh, that always bothers Nick. I enjoy that.
Greg, let me start with you. Whose slow start has you the most concerned this year? From my point of view, Giancarlo Stanton, I don't know if he's...
I'm not going to fall into your Giancarlo slump.
Okay.
Problem concern. I know that's where you want me to go.
You go where you want to go.
Is it or is it not? Answer truthfully.
Yes, I want you to tell me that Giancarlo's going to be okay.
All right. I'm most concerned about Spears and Jared Parker. They're a little bit deeper names, but I think Spears is pretty much out of the rotation if he does well in middle relief, and he's going to get screwed just by being the fifth starter. He's going to miss, you know, he's not going to get all the starts he would get as a fourth starter. And he also topped out at 88. I was a little lukewarm on him when I said I liked him in the preseason, but now I'm going to back up on that and say that I think Fears is someone that you can drop in most leagues. And Parker was bad in the spring.
Okay.
And it looks like he's carrying that over, and I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up on the disgraceful list after throwing so many innings last year. If you want me to go with the top two-rounder that I'm worried about, I'll say Albert Pujols, just because he's limping around the base paths like he's Red Fox having a heart attack.
Rudy, what about you? Anyone's early season lack of success concerning to you?
See, Jared Parker, I think he's a marginal starter, but I'm not as worried about him only because he's faced Detroit and pitched at L.A. And the Angels are just our great offense. It just hasn't started clicking yet. So he's had some tough matchups. In the top two rounds, Stanton and Jason Hayward are concerning me right now because I'm concerned both are hiding injuries.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, of course.
Can I speak on the Stanton thing?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Nicholas Sparks Capozzi, for allowing me to speak.
Tell me what you got, Gray.
I'll say with Giancarlo one quick thing. He had one homer last year, and he was batting around 240 in April. And then he missed a month with knee surgery, and he still ended up with 37 homers last year. So I'm not too concerned.
But why would you pitch to him if you're the opposition?
Yeah. Every 9 at bats, you have to pitch to a guy.
I'd just walk him. I don't know why he would see anything resembling something hittable.
It wasn't like Jose Reyes was protecting him in the lineup. Who'd he have behind him last year for most of the year?
Lomo.
Yeah. Terrific.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see. I'm concerned.
Morrison provides great Twitter support hitting behind you.
Rudy, just quickly.
Really gets you motivated with his tweets while you're hitting. While on deck, he's sitting there just fiddling.
Rudy, just going back to quickly the guys possibly hiding injuries. You think Hayward's hurt?
Well, I mean, I'm. He's had a really bad start. I mean, the Braves are going 11-1, and he's in a great slot. And he's just really isn't. He hasn't shown power. I thought he had a great spring. Maybe I'm remembering wrong. That's just the concern. You're asking me who I'm concerned about. It's like I look at the guys we have in our teams. Yeah, Stanton and Hayward are the two right now I'm a bit concerned on.
Rudy, what do you think of this trade? I just put a a trade through for Stanton. Shin-Soo Chu for Stanton. What do you think?
That's ridiculous. I didn't like Shin-Soo Chu coming into the year. Guy can't field for the life of him.
So you
he got lucky
Stanton
that Ludwig
right
got hurt so he could still play every day. So, yeah, okay. I'll take I would take I take Stanton 10 times out of 10.
Right. Hopefully Cardi goes for it, and hopefully he doesn't listen to the podcast.
Rudy, I just want to give you a quick follow-up question. Jeremiah Adkins tweeted us and asks, Rudy, are the Braves the best team in baseball right now?
Well, the fact that BJ, they're, 11-1, and BJ Upton and Hayward haven't done anything, I think the Tigers are the best team right now. That their offense is just a juggernaut, and they've got one of the top three pitchers in the game, along with, Scherzer, Sanchez, Pfister are solid, even with their closer apocalypse of a bullpen. I would say the Tigers are best right now. I like the Angels coming into the year, but with Weaver hurt, I think they're definitely now out of contention for best team.
Great. Let's go back to hot starts, cold starts. Whose hot start is a mirage to you? I'm looking at, just as an example, Evan Gattis. Is he a great hitter or just a great story right now?
You know, if someone's hitting, as long as you're not dropping anyone that worthwhile, I say grab them. It doesn't hurt to, say, drop Domet for Gattis or anyone. You know, in one catcher league, you have about 5 to 7 catchers that you want to hold on to. Everyone else, they're expendable. I would grab Gattis in most shallow leagues. And then in deeper leagues, you got to be worried about McCann coming back at some point and Gattis just showing that he was, a 2-week wonder.
Right. What about you, Rudy? Any early season mirages have you concerned?
Well, it's not a concern, but I mean, the guy who I trade high right now is Matt Harvey. He's been great in the last three, and he's making the Streaminator look foolish. Maybe there's a touch of spite on this one, but he's three starts. He's had San Diego and Minnesota in there. Coming into the year, his K rate was supposed to be good. That's why I think his K rate was the reason Gray was very high on him. And I'm still shocked we didn't end up with him on any teams, but I think everyone else was high on him. I just don't believe he'll have the control this year. I think it takes years before you're able to go from 4 walks per 9 to 2 walks per 9. And that's the difference to me between Edwin Jackson and an ace. So I even saw on a Roto publication that he's an official fantasy ace now. If someone's paying me if I can get a top 2-round hitter, a top 4-round hitter for Matt Harvey, I'm taking it.
Okay, let me stay on Matt Harvey for a second, but I'm going to bounce it over to you, Gray. Gray, give me your take on Harvey, but also I want to hear what you think about Jose Fernandez. Can he keep it up?
I like Harvey a lot. I think he definitely can get you Ks. He's in a decent division/stadium for success. I think there's also a lot of what Rudy says is true. Harvey had a lot of – he didn't have great control in the minors. He could definitely be a high 3, low 4 walk per 9 guy, which isn't great. I was always looking at Harvey more as like a fifth fantasy guy who has great upside and can be a 3 or 2. He's not a 1 by any stretch of the imagination. I like Fernandez as well. I watched him on Saturday. I think he's got also great stuff. He hits like 96, 97, and he has a curveball that just dropped out of nowhere on lefties. Then I think the problem is, obviously, Miami's not going to score. They might only get him 5 wins in 180 innings this year.
What do you think, Rudy, about Fernandez?
I like him a lot. He seems like he's got a good amount of poise on there, and he knows what he's doing. I'm sure it's not a perfect thing in terms of stuff, but I think of Felix Hernandez when he came up. And he came up he felt like a finished product. And it took him, I think there was another year or two before he became an ace. But Felix Hernandez was useful in 10-team leagues from the get-go. So, I like Jose Fernandez a lot, kind of kicking myself, you know, in maybe the non-FAAB leagues for not taking a flyer on him. And, yeah, the wins are going to be awful. Yeah, I'm not, but you just have, you can mix and match. It's easier to find guys like Jake Westbrook who are probably good on wins, bad everywhere else, than it is the starting pitchers who are good on three categories.
Right. Rudy, and also now that the Streaminator is up and running, my Streaminator call of the week is Chris Capuano, who's a $16 play against San Diego on Tuesday.
No, I had to rerun it this morning because I was looking at the percent ownership, and when I first ran it based on last week, it was at zero, and he's already, you know, I think after run in the last week, he's been picked up in about 10% of RCL leagues. Yeah, I like the Capuano start. I got burned by the Volquez start. In San Diego, and then I didn't have the balls to pick Jorge De La Rosa yesterday, and he had a great start at San Diego.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see how he works, because when I'm looking at the Streaminator, I want guys I can actually stream. I know the guys that are 100% owned, I'm not going to pick up for that matchup.
Well, we've got that column, so we got the percent RCL owned, and and one of the reasons we've got the Rasball Commenter League owned out of the 64 12-team leagues we are sponsoring is that the ESPN and Yahoo ones are always too low.
Right.
It feels like you got a lot of zombie leagues there. So, you know, when it says Capuano is only in 10% leagues, that does mean something. I wouldn't be surprised by the Padres start if he's up to 50%. Now, we'll see if I'll update it midweek, and we could use Capuano as a case study for the how viral this podcast is.
Okay, good stuff. Great. If Johnny Cueto's hurt, are we going to see Tony Cingrani this year? And also, just a quick follow-up on that, there's a zero chance that Chapman moves to the rotation, correct?
Yeah, Cueto's hurt. And no, Chapman, I mean, I think Dusty would love to jerk around Chapman's arm some more, but I don't think Chapman's going into rotation this year. I think at some point in December, the Reds will say Chapman's in the rotation, and then at some point in March, they'll say not in the rotation.
Right.
Yeah, I think that one's easy. Once they decide it, it's done. Chapman's not going in the rotation. And Cingrani was marked as kind of like the next guy up in case anyone got injured. I just think this was the worst case for the Reds was a guy like Johnny Cueto getting hurt. I feel like this is also revenge of the projection systems, because two of the guys that they had the hardest time with ERA has been Cueto and Weaver, and they're both hurt. And they actually over-project on Greinke every year. So three of the outliers are out. I'm trying to think who's next on the list.
Just quickly, guys, just give me a date. We did this a couple times last season on the podcast. Rudy, when is Billy Hamilton going to be the starting center fielder for the Reds?
2014, maybe. I'm not kidding.
Wow.
He has no power. I mean, I think Cincinnati needs a center fielder, because I've said from the start Shin Soo Chu can't handle it. He blew one win for Latos with some awful day game fielding. I'm just not convinced Billy Hamilton's a guy you want in center. He felt a lot more comfortable like middle infield.
The great thing about Billy Hamilton is he can play shortstop and center at the same time.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, Cozart, I think, has always been a marginal player. I think his upside was always like 270, 14 homers, something like that. I mean, I think it's probably equal chances that Hamilton ends up starting at short next year, and maybe Cozart turns into a utility guy.
What about you, Great? What do you think? Are we going to see Hamilton this year, or are you also in the 2014 category?
Go with Hamilton September 1st.
I guess I just want to see how fast this kid is on the base path.
Oh, you got to get the minor league package.
And I think he's shortstop eligible in leagues this year. That'll go away.
Rudy, let me ask you a question about position eligibility, because it looks like Brett Laurie, since you brought him up earlier, is actually going to move to second base, at least temporarily, with Reyes out. So if he gets second base eligibility, how does that change his dynamic this season?
I think it adds maybe like $2 of value. Second and third aren't tremendously different. So, I mean, I think it's $2 to $3 would be the adjustment.
Okay, fair enough. So it's not that big of a game changer.
No, I mean, it seems nice. I mean, I know in Yahoo League, Kyle Seager is more valuable in that one. I think it's a tough one. Like, for starting second base, for starting third base, not as much. I mean, but, I mean, I find myself a lot more desperate sometimes for MI.
Batista getting third base eligibility will be nicer, I think, than Laurie getting second.
That's a good point. Okay, Gray, let me go back to you here, because we're going to talk closers real quick, which is, if you remember from last year, my least favorite thing to discuss. But which early season struggling closer is most likely to get his job back or keep it? I'm going to throw four names out there. Axford, Holland, Rodney, and Romo.
Rodney and Romo have the jobs. So they're going to keep the jobs for as long as they're healthy. I think Romo will probably actually get hurt at some point, and if not hurt, then he's going to lose maybe 7 to 10 saves to Santiago, and just from not being able to go back-to-back game, or Poch is just going to wear out his arm. And then Akron and Holland, I'll say, weird, I think Holland has the best stuff out of Rodney, Axford, but he's also got the best setup man with Kelvin Herrera. So I think Herrera is the closer for the better part of the year, with Holland really settling in as a quality middle reliever, and then Rodney will be fine. I think Axford will be a mess in middle relief. At some point, put it together and get the job back maybe in July and end up with about 15 saves.
All right, Rudy, let me shoot you one last quick question before we wrap up. I'm not even going to ask this of Gray because I already know how he feels about it, but the Cubs signed Kevin Gregg. Is there any chance he winds up closing even for a short stint this year?
Jeez, everyone's pretty mediocre in that bullpen, so it's not unprecedented. It would seem odd for an Epstein and Hoyer-led management group to allow Greg to close. To me, I feel like Camp and Russell are going to give auditions. I feel like Michael Bowden would be ahead of Greg.
Why even sign him?
I don't know. I mean that, you know, that they're short on. I mean, Marmol is just so. I think they're just hoping to catch something in seventh, eighth, ninth inning. And remember, if Greg does pretty well in a seventh, eighth inning, he's tradable.
Right.
So I think that a lot of teams like to take flyers on relievers in hopes they capture something. But yeah, Kevin Gregg, that is kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel.
All right, listen, don't forget, Rudy, the Play with Rudy from Razzball contest at DraftKings.com is going to run on Friday night this week, so we won't be able to use Capuano, but the winner out of the 50 entries from the Razzball readership is going to win a ticket to the $100,000 MLB Spring Fling, so it's very exciting.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. Yeah, we need to get. I want to get this filled up all 50. We had how many did we have last time?
You know what? I'm not sure off the top of my head.
I think it was like 40. I came in middle of the pack this time.
$600.
Say that again, Gray.
I said last week someone mentioned in the comments about winning $600.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I think the guy who won, he was first and second.
That's awesome.
It was jerk-offs in the NCAA pool, office pools.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys, listen, thanks for joining us this week on the Razzball Baseball Podcast. We will be back next week. Of course, you can follow Gray at Razzball. You can follow Rudy at Rudy Gamble. And you can follow me at Nick Capozzi. Talk to you later, gentlemen.
All right, peace out.